Radio Daily for Weekend Eve.
And all the fun, fantastical things and the way they happen and whatnots and stuff. I really need to look at a calendar. I really do. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 24th of June. We are the fine folks at GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that's been putting in all the hard work and doing what needs to be done to make things happen. There's podcasting for secret.
Look, Mom, I finally made something of myself.
Woo! Way to make it happen. And me, I'm just the guy that'll, you know, got a card trick for you. I've got a half-assed Kermit the Frog impression. I got stuff I can do. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
The next time you feel like showing off, don't.
Okay, fine. Mr. Grouchy, what happened on this fine, fantastic day, sir?
In 1881, Sir William Huggins makes the first photographic spectrum of a comet, 1881-3, and discovers cyanogen, CN, emission at violet wavelengths.
1930, the first radar detection of an aircraft takes place in Anacostia, D.C.
1938, scores of eyewitnesses observe the explosive roar of a huge fireball streaking over Butler County, Pennsylvania. A cow is struck and injured by a falling stone, which turns out to be an olivine hypersthene chondrite, or amphoterite.
That's what I thought. 1947, the first known sighting of an unidentified flying object, or UFO, was recorded when pilot Kenneth Arnold reports noticing 9 luminous discs he described as saucers as he flies near Mount Rainier, Washington.
Nothing to see here. Look elsewhere.
1957, in the case of Roth v. United States, the Supreme Court of the United States rules that obscene material is not protected by the First Amendment.
So that's why we have to be very careful over who we decide to let say what is obscene. 1963, home video recorder technology is first demonstrated at the BBC News Studio in London by Norman Rutherford, Michael Turner of Nottingham Electronic Valve Company.
1964, the picture phone video telephone system is first demonstrated in the U.S.
1967, the very first consumer electronics show was held in New York City Hall from June 24th through the 28th at the Hilton and Americana Hotels as a spinoff to the popular Chicago Music Show. It'll have 200 exhibitors. An estimated 17,500 people will attend. The event will become a staple of the industry.
1975, a moon tremor caused by torrid meteors is detected by the seismometer network left on the moon's surface by American astronauts.
1982, Commodore International announces that James Finke will leave the company as president at the expiration of his contract on June 30th, and they've never been the same.
1983, Warner Brothers releases the sci-fi film Twilight Zone the Movie, directed by Joe Dante, John Landis, George Miller, and Steven Spielberg, and starring Dan Aykroyd, Albert Brooks, Vic Morrow, Scatman Crothers, Kathleen Quinlan, John Lithgow, and Burgess Meredith.
1986, Democratic House Representative Albert Gore introduces Senate Bill 2594, the Supercomputer Network Study Act of 1986. The bill calls for a study of the possibility of creating fiber optic links to supercomputer centers, requiring the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, OSTP, to issue a report on the subject.
1987, MGM releases the sci-fi comedy film Spaceballs, directed by Mel Brooks and starring Bill Pullman, John Candy, Daphne Zuniga, Rick Moranis, Mel Brooks, Dick Van Patten, George Weiner, and Joan Rivers.
1988, Touchstone Pictures releases Who Framed Roger Rabbit, directed by Robert Zemeckis with a live action and Richard Williams for the animation, starring Bob Hoskins, Christopher Lloyd, Joanna Cassidy, Charles Fleischer, and Kathleen Turner.
1993, Severe Tire Damage, without the permission of the Rolling Stones, uses the M-Bone to perform some songs preceding and following the Stones concert. Described in the press as a renegade band who electronically crashed the party, Severe Tire Damage will take credit for being the first musical group in history to perform a warm-up set in a different city than the headliner band. Somewhat peeved, the Rolling Stones soon described their computer-savvy competitors as furry Palo Alto geeks.
Ooh, damn!
Same day, same year, Yale computer science professor Dr. David Gellernter is severely injured by a mail bomb he received from the Unabomber. He will lose sight in one eye, the hearing in one ear, and part of his right hand. People, stop being asses.
1994, the Computer Game Developers Association is formed by Ernest W. Adams to promote and strengthen the video game industry and to promote computer games as an art form.
1995, GTE Entertainment releases the 3D fighting game FX Fighter for the personal computer, the first real-time 3D fighting game to be developed for the PC.
1997, 3DO completes the sale of its hardware business to Samsung for $20 million.
That's why you have all those 3DO titles on your Galaxy. Same day, same year, Nintendo releases the racing game Mario Kart 64 for the Nintendo 64, the sequel to Super Mario Kart, which was not called Mario Kart, but Super, and wow, did we play a lot of that back in the day.
Yeah, Also, the United States Supreme Court let stand a ruling in favor of Nintendo that overturns a jury's decision to award $208 million in damages to Alpex Computers in a patent infringement case filed in 1986. Alpex's claim was that the Nintendo Entertainment System violated a 1977 patent for a device that displays video images.
Gotta be more specific. 1998, Symantec purchases Ghost, a disc cloning program developed by the New Zealand company Binary Research. The name Ghost is an acronym for General Hardware-Oriented Software Transfer. It is the program that created the market for disc cloning software.
1999, the Cassini-Huygens space probe makes a gravity-assisted flyby of Venus on its mission to Saturn and Titan.
Same day, same year, CompUSA initiates dramatic changes to the chain of 211 stores. They close up to 14 locations. Approximately 1,500 jobs of 21,000 employees are cut. A shift in focus away from desktop computers, blaming low margins, weaker demand, and higher competitive pricing. CompUSA also reports three consecutive quarterly losses and will close its distribution center in Grapevine, Texas, which has never recovered.
Also, testimony in the U.S. Justice Department Microsoft antitrust case ends after 8 months.
2000, President Bill Clinton makes the first ever presidential webcast. Among the announcements made during the webcast was a new website that will be able to search all government resources.
That website is definitely not whitehouse.com.
Nope.
2001, Jerry Jessup initiates an auction on eBay for item 12496405557. A very rare Atari 2700 RC Stella game system prototype featuring wireless RF controllers. The system was originally unveiled in the 1980 CES in Chicago, Illinois. A member using the handle Buy Atari will ultimately be the highest bidder on the auction with a bid of $2,626.
2003, Nintendo releases the platform game Wario World for the GameCube in North America, the first appearance of Wario in a home console game, as well as the first 3D Wario game.
Also, Netflix receives a patent covering its subscription rental service, as well as Netflix's methods of communication and delivery. This is one of two patents which Netflix will accuse Blockbuster of violating in the lawsuit Netflix v. Blockbuster, filed on April 4th, 2006 in the United States District Court for the Northern District of California.
2005, EA Games releases Battlefield 2 for Windows in Europe, the first-person shooter with some strategy and RPG elements developed by Digital Illusion CE with a custom game engine.
And not to be outdone, Universal Pictures releases the zombie film Land of the Dead, directed by George A. Romero, starring Simon Baker, John Leguizamo, Dennis Hopper, and Asia Argento, and has a stupid ending.
2005, Barb and her brother Johnny go to their aunt's funeral at Shady Rest Cemetery and encounter zombies in 3D.
2006, Walt Disney Pictures premieres the film Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest at Disneyland in Anaheim, California. The film will be released to theaters on July 7th, 2006. It is the first Disney film to use the new computer-animated production logo that the Burbank studio spent a year designing.
Same day, same year, Microsoft releases build 5,456 of the Windows Vista operating system, and still no one gave one bit of crap. Birthdays?
Mindy Kaling is 42 from The Office and The Mindy Project.
Sherry Stringfield is 54 from NYPD Blue, ER, Under the Dome.
Mercedes Lackey is 66, author and guest of honor for RavenCon 2017.
Remember when we had those? Nancy Allen is 71 from Carrie, Dressed to Kill, RoboCop.
Peter Weller, 74. Star Trek Into Darkness, RoboCop, so many 80s movies. He had a great run on Sons of Anarchy. Oh, I know him best. From Buckaroo Banzai.
No longer with us, born this date in 1904, Phil Harris, Baloo in Jungle Book, Little John and Robin Hood, and of course, Rockadoodle.
Such a great voice. 1919, Al Molinaro, Al on Happy Days.
1922, Jack Carter from History of the World Part 1, an alligator.
1966, Adrian Shelley, writer, director, and co-star of Waitress.
Good, good movie.
On CBS, we've got a new Young Sheldon, United States of Al, Mom, Be Positive, and as ViCap gets within reach of exposing Alistair's secrets, Clarice is held captive inside an animal testing facility beside a group of trafficked women on a new Clarice.
There's a lot going on there. ABC, When Nature Calls, with Helen Mirren, no apparent fear of death on a new Holy Moly, and The Hustler.
NBC has a new Making It, new Good Girls, and the trio must come up with a way to smuggle the fake money, but things become more complicated when Stan gets involved on another new Good Girls.
It usually does get, you know, complicated with Stan. Fox, the teacher's edition of a new Beat Shazam.
CW, Mickey's biological mother attempts to make amends with her daughter, who doesn't want anything to do with her, on a new walker and a new Legacies.
Freeform asks the question,
why him?
AMC has both Fast and Furious.
Bravo, shellfishly delicious on a new Top Chef, huh? How's it?
FX has Jurassic World.
FXX Simpsons, you got your Bart Hood, Mr. Lisa's Opus.
FXM has Deadpool.
But again, edited for television. BBC America, Tooken 2.
Paramount has Draft Day.
Sci-Fi Channel, Underworld, Blood Wars. Again, third one, fourth one, 12th one. How many was made? Who knows?
CCM has Rebel Without a Cause.
TBS, This Game's Got Me, on a new episode of The Cube.
TNT has Doctor Strange.
True TV, Paintball Bullet Catch, on a new Big Trick Energy. But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A radio DJ gains popularity by discussing her love life on the air, so when her producer suggests listeners nominate dates for her, she agrees. But when one of her dates is murdered, she begins to suspect her jealous ex is behind the whole thing. Skye Coyne and Gillian Murray star in Deadly Dating Game.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad brings Abby on a business trip with him where he negotiates a deal between a tough businesswoman and a newspaper magnate. Stefan's affair with Kate takes a turn when he buys her an intriguing gift. Meanwhile, Marlena would like everyone to know that she's up for some good times. She'd like to have some unsupervised fun. She just might go to 2000 Malibu Road and find her own hottie that she can mash up against. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Do you mind? I want to check my email.
Concerning our June 3rd episode, Bill says, "Hi, geeks. Loved your citation-needed joke about Whale's honorary degree. For a change, with The Perfect Wedding, Lifetime actually didn't just keep the working title. And no, I have no interest in you doing anything inappropriate for PG-13 audiences. Who licks the frosting on toaster pastries? I've never wanted to, but 5 seconds thinking, and I realize it's not just gross and rude, it's stupid. The melting point of the frosting is higher than a toaster can produce." Stay safe, that is from Bill. Well, Bill, we're never inappropriate. Okay, well, we are officially sometimes naughty, but never nasty.
True.
Unless you can prove us wrong, send some examples, won't you, in an email form. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or play clips for us on a voicemail, or reference them in a text message if you so are inclined. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CURL.
We might break a couple of dozen damn beep buttons, but nah, it's going to be just fine.
Right, it will be.
I'm Tony Southcott.
I'm Albert Byrne.
Hi.
Tell me something fun, Tony.
Life isn't fun.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We started getting, like, the real nitty-gritty of, like, what being a critic's about. In-depth reviews that aren't loaded with spoilers.
Watch this movie.
No.
This movie's good.
There's no anger there. There's no frustration.
As long as I'm not shoveling feces directly into my mouth, I'm fine.
And things allegedly got weirder.
Woo-hoo! The Human Echoes Podcast!
Human Echoes.
Hi, this is the actually famous Billy Flynn, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Bam!
Necessary.
Well, of course it is. Because he's just bitter that I have the Twitter, you know, handle that he desperately, desperately wanted. Ha ha ha! You gotta be quicker in the morning there, other me.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Don't matter. It's always a new week. What's out this time, sir?
Well, we've got The Legend of Mana. Unlock side quests and save the world in Square's follow-up to Secret of Mana. Available for the Switch and PC.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 Plus 2, a high-definition remake of the first two Tony Hawk Pro Skater games, I think now available finally for the Switch? Sure.
Mario Golf Super Rush. For the first time since 2003, Mario Golf returns to console and features new gameplay, speed golf, and a story mode. Available on the Switch.
Endo Crisis, a sci-fi shoot-em-up with a tactical shield feature where you can absorb attacks to power up your ship for the PC.
Zombies Ate My Neighbor / Ghoul Patrol, a bundle of the two LucasArts classics, available for the Switch and PC.
The always wonderfully delightful Destroy All Humans remake of the cult classic Alien Invasion Simulator. Don't ask what you do with the cows, it's now for the Switch.
And Alex Kidd in Miracle World DX, a remake of the Sega Master System classic, available for the Xbox One, Xbox Series XS, PS4, PS5, Switch, and PC.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. In an official announcement from Paramount Pictures and Skydance, production has officially kicked off on the new live-action feature, Transformers: Rise of the Beasts! The seventh overall film in the franchise that began with Michael Bay's 2007 Transformers.
I'm there, but only if they use 1996-style CGI.
The press release says the film will take audiences on a 1990s globe-trotting adventure and introduce the Maximals, Predacons, and Terrorcons in the existing battle on Earth between Autobots and Decepticons.
They'd be able to match the award-winning original.
Award-winning?
Yeah, they got an Emmy for Best Production Design.
Beast Wars? Okay, fine. The film will serve as a continuation of the story of the 1987 set Bumblebee and adapt the popular Beast Wars storyline of the 1990s. This time the action unfolds in 1994 in New York, in the borough of Brooklyn, and around Machu Picchu, Peru.
Peru? Does this mean Megatron will have his crocodile form?
New Transformers that will appear this time include RC, a Ducati 916, Mirage, a Porsche 911, Nightbird, a Nissan GTR, along with Air Razor, hawk-like, Optimus Primal, gorilla-like, Rhinox, rhino-like, the Terracon leader Scrouge, and an off-road version of Bumblebee. Transformers Rise of the Beast is targeting a June 24th, 2022 release. If this lives up to the original Beast Wars, then we're going to get some terrible video games, some horrible sequels, but the creators will go on to make a reboot movie.
Filmmaker Tony Cervani says that a follow-up of some sort to last year's animated Scooby-Doo prequel feature Scoob is in development.
I will only accept a Dynamutt and Blue Falcon movie.
That original 2020 film was set for a proper theatrical release, but when the pandemic began, it was also made available to own or rent digitally. As a result, it's not clear how much of a success it was for Warners.
It was the third most popular premium video on demand during COVID, so...
The project is separate from the CW's Scooby-Doo holiday special featuring the Scooby-Doo cast. That one serving as a spoof of cast reunions a la Friends and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Well, I am interested in seeing the Scooby gang doing table reads and getting that sweet behind-the-scenes footage because we know why Shag and Scooby are always hungry.
The studio, however, apparently sees the potential in expanding the Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe. The first Scoob brought in characters from other cartoons like Blue Falcon, Captain Caveman, and Dick Dastardly. Whatever's coming next, expect it also to incorporate famous characters from other Hanna-Barbera properties. Which means, if there is justice in this world, we will get a Laugh Olympics movie. Heavens, indeed, to Murgatroyd.
And in news that only I... and like six other people care about, maybe count PsyOps, the 1987 horror movie Anguish, starring Zelda Rubinstein from Poltergeist and Michael Lerner from Maniac Cop 2, Barton Fink, is headed for a remake from director F. Javier Gutierrez, who made Rings.
Bringing with it the agony, heartbreak, and misery.
Kiko Martinez and Antonio Perez, Mastranza Films, have acquired the rights to the remake, an option that Sam Raimi considered in 2009 through his production company Ghost House Pictures.
Sam was involved? Oh, I hope they still keep Bruce Campbell and Ted.
Anguish is a complex and terrifying film with a modern spin, an ode to theaters in the middle of this tendency to view content at home through streamers. Cinema within cinema, in a sinister Freudian parallelism between reality and fiction that is obsessed with the viewer's gaze.
Ha! I knew it would be Freudian in nature. Can't believe they let that slip.
Well, they are a bunch of cigar heads. In the 1987 original, a controlling mother uses telekinetic powers to send her middle-aged son on a killing spree, and when he is done, she will make sure he works hard to ensure that this house is clean.
If you've downloaded the latest Marvel Avengers update with plans to stream your epic battle against AIM Scientist Supreme Monica Rappaccini, maybe wait until Square Enix fixes the issue that's making players' IP addresses float around the screen during gameplay.
Hey, Square Enix, please explain to me how that is a feature.
The main purpose of Marvel's Avengers update was to finally add a showdown between the cosmic cube-powered scientist Rappaccini and the Earth's mightiest heroes. Exposing everyone's IP address is an added bonus that's surely delighting streamers everywhere.
Well, it does save me the trouble of having to repeat it again and again in chat. Thanks, Square Enix!
The IP address info shows up on screen as soon as the game starts, along with your username and the current time and date. Which is sort of handy. Even more fun, the information bounces around the screen at random, so it's not like it can be covered up with a clever overlay.
Does this mean they're going to be hiring more beta testers? I'm available.
Your IP address, or Internet Protocol address, is a unique number that identifies a device's location on the Internet. If someone gets a hold of your IP address, they can use it to launch cyber attacks and could determine your approximate location, something that most Twitch game streamers try to avoid at all costs.
Right? I don't need anybody showing up at my place asking me to wear a horse mask. Again?
What? Developer Crystal Dynamics is aware of the issue and urged players not to stream until it is resolved. We're aware of the issue, where a floating string of text appears on the screen, and are investigating. Thank you for the reports. In the meantime, have some shawarma.
Speaking of Marvel, the Marvel Universe is one step closer to becoming reality as a real goblin glider was seen flying around New York City.
Oh, viral marketing is getting pretty cool.
Rex Chapman shared a high-flying video on Twitter saying, "Oh, nothing, just a dude flying around New York City." The short clip reveals a mysterious figure zooming through Times Square at nighttime, soaring past the bright billboards and over the heads of onlookers.
Here's the real truth. There are 8 million people in the city, and those teeming masses exist for the sole purpose of lifting the few exceptional people onto their shoulders.
For Marvel fans, the image naturally brings to mind Spider-Man's adversary, Green Goblin, and recent reports suggest that Green Goblin will be the main villain in the upcoming Spider-Man No Way Home, with Willem Dafoe reprising his nefarious role. He first played Norman Osborn, Green Goblin, in Sam Raimi's Spider-Man trilogy, and rumors circulated for months about his return, but then in February, he was spotted on the film's set, giving the people what they want.
One thing they love more than a hero is to see a hero fail.
Green Goblin won't be the only enemy that Tom Holland is going to be facing in that new movie. Alfred Molina is returning as Doc Ock. Some believe that Spider-Man No Way Home will introduce the Sinister Six, the infamous comic book gang. They're a group of supervillains, Kraven the Hunter, Sandman, among the group's original formation. The team's members have varied over the years, but Doc Ock typically retained leadership with each incarnation. So if this is a publicity stunt, get ready to see other Sinister Six members in the streets of New York. The Trapster will start pasting everything. Human Fly will spit acid at you, and Boomerang will show up, leave, and then come back again. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. I mean, I could have put Armadillo in there. There were so many bad members of the Sinister Six over the years. There's been Clown. There was a guy just named Clown. In fairness, that could be a little creepy, just a bit. Who was your favorite and who was your least favorite member of the Sinister Six? Why not let us know? Send a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, a voicemail, text mail, message. Just use the numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
See you tomorrow. That's what I'd say.
I asked for an army and all I got was you. You were not enough.
What the hell are you still doing here?
God, these guys are such geek dumbasses. I know.
Good night, suckers.
It's happening! Use the moves!
Have you found them yet?
No, Lord Helmet. They're still not on the scanner.
Well, keep looking for them.
I have an idea. Corporal, get me the video cassette of Spaceballs the movie.
Colonel Sanders, may I speak with you, please?
Yes, sir. How can there be a cassette of Spaceballs the movie? We're still in the middle of making it.
That's true, sir. But there's been a new breakthrough in home video marketing.
There has?
Yes. Instant cassettes. They're out in stores before the movie is finished.
Nah.
Here it is, sir. Spaceballs.
Good work, Corporal. Punch it up. That's much too early. Prepare to fast forward.
Preparing to fast forward.
Fast forward.
Fast forwarding, sir.
Try here. Stop. What the hell am I looking at? When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
Past then.
When?
Just now. We're it now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.